place things there like a carpet, and you and they start throwing things out, and you just want to suck it all up, man, and get stuck into it, and then just let it go up, man. There's an atmosphere we created this morning. We always do it here. It's a great church for worship. Praise God. Well, I started I'll start my series on harvest, end time harvest. And my message this morning is, it's entitled, "The Corn Isn't Going to Pick Itself." Think about that one, because we'll be looking at a couple of scriptures in meantime. If you have your Bibles, or if you want to look on your phones, or don't go to sleep, or if you want to look at the front screens, we're going to take a look at a couple of scriptures. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, we'll be looking and reading from the New King James Version. All set? Oh, yeah. Okay. Then Jesus, notice a couple of things here, there, even in this one verse. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. There's really that among the people is not there in the original, but it sounds good anyways. And verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. When we're talking about Jesus moved with compassion, there are other verses of scripture in the Bible where even at Lazarus, when he died, Jesus went to the tomb, he was moved with great compassion because he loved that man, and he wept. Don't you think Jesus was weeping here when he began to look at the multitudes? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd, directionless, caught up in all kinds of things. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And then there's another verse of scripture, a couple of verses of scripture I want us to take a look at, and they're found in John chapter 4, and beginning with verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest." Oh, sorry. He says, "Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you even right now, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, but that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Keep this in mind. "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor, others have labored for, and you have entered into their labors." To me, there's a cause for antenna going up, eyes looking out, and doing something. Because we have to have respect for those who have gone before us. And sometimes it's even in the harvest field where we are in our business places. Sometimes you may know a person that someone else has already presented the gospel, maybe even seven times. And then it comes your time to witness to that person. "I led that person to Jesus." No, you did not. You just brought them into the presence of the gospel. And Jesus saved that person. You see, they're always throwing the seeds out. But unless you go out and sow the seeds and throw the seeds out, then there's nothing that you're going to reap that has an effect on people's lives. In the Old Testament, I don't have this down, but you know, we all know the verse of Scripture where it says, "My word will not return void to me, but will prosper in everything in which I sent it." So we have to have faith in God's word. It's a living word. It's a power-packed word that brings life to those ears and those hearts that it falls onto. So let's take a look at verse 35. Very interesting verse here. It says, Do you not say, I've got lines all over, so I didn't see that nod. Do you not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Are there any people here that were born on a farm? Raise your hands. All right, I had a hunch you were. I'm not talking about a backyard where you've got 12 tomato plants and cucumber plants. That's not a harvest. That's not a big farm. Okay, just one person. Well, that's good. Because really, almost all of us, those not even here, were not brought up or reared on a farm. I had access to a farm, my uncle's farm, when I was young, and I saw a lot what happened when he planted and when he went out and he took care of the grounds. He had barns. And then when harvest time came, he went out and had to do all the harvesting with my other uncles. So you could sort of get a glimpse. But, you know, today, does anyone here go around and this is an ancient proverb. It's a Middle Eastern proverb. Do you not say that there are 4 months, then the harvest? That's ancient. Even in Jesus' day, that was an ancient proverb. So does anyone here, when you're going out sometimes and you start to witness or you go down the street, does anyone here say, yeah, there are yet 4 months until harvest? Do you yell that out in the street? I hope you don't, because you may not even understand it yourself. Did you know that that was a Middle Eastern proverb, an ancient one? Well, now you do, if you didn't know. But we have to look at these things in the context of this whole place where we're living, the day and age that we're living. This proverb was understood by Jesus' culture because there was a lot of agriculture going on at that time, and they understood these things. Jesus spoke in proverbs and parables because when he spoke in parables, they understood things that he was talking about because they were relating things that they knew in life. And so with this talking now that Jesus is talking about the end time harvest, and he says, do you not say that there are still yet 4 months until harvest? You know, really, at the time that Jesus was saying this, he just got through talking to a woman at the well. She was part of that harvest. Everybody else would have missed it. Just take it for a moment. Just before Jesus did this, he spoke that proverb out. When he was with that woman, he revealed everything about herself that she wasn't expecting to be revealed. Laid open. And can you imagine when Jesus began to tell her about the things of eternal life and she finally got a revelation of it and she ran back and started going into the town that she came from. Remember, she had 5 husbands? And remember, the one that she was living with was not her husband? Going back to the town, she says, hey, guys, hey, ladies, I just found a guy. Yeah, we know. You already had 5 and you got one you're living with. No, you got to hear this fella. I think he might be the Messiah. You see, Jesus was throwing out the word of God. He was giving people the good news. It wasn't always just healing people, but there were a lot of people that were healed. It was part of his ministry. But it was just letting people know, shaking them up with a revelation about God, about his love, and about why Jesus and who Jesus was and what he was there to do, what he was able to do to change their lives totally. So they lived in a culture, so when Jesus spoke this out, they had an idea, an understanding, and so they could sort of relate it to, yeah, we do agriculture. Okay, Jesus now, I didn't even know what he was talking about, like, where's the harvest? And so they have to put 2 and 2 together. He just got through talking to a woman at the well. She changed, and he had done things in the past, like miracles and changing people's lives, and all of a sudden they're starting to put 2 and 2 together. They're before us. It has to do with people. That's what the harvest is all about. So for the most part, you know, we're not going to go around saying that proverb, going down, like, I know, like in give life. We're not going to be going, showing three circles and giving our testimony and saying, you know, there's 4 months until harvest. Did you know that? We're not going to do that because that's not, it's not going to mesh in with what we're trying to say, and they're not going to grab it either. In fact, they'll probably end up walking away. So that's one thing we're not going to get into a whole lot, because if you have an understanding, our understanding today is that what Jesus was talking about is talking about people. People are the harvest. I think we know that. The harvest all has to do with people. And if you've grown up on a farm, you have an idea what the procedures are. Steve Furtick, pastor of Elevation Church in North Carolina, U.S. of A. Have you heard of him, by the way? Pastor Steve Furtick? Get on YouTube or something and just take a look at his name. Pastor Steve Furtick, Elevation Church. Not too far from you. Yes, he is. He's on the other side of the States. That's a long way, but he's still close, closer than we are. Anyways, he was preaching pretty much on the same subject, you know, in the harvest time. He was asking people the same question. And that's why I asked you this morning. Anyone here live on a farm or been reared up on a farm? No. One person. But he kept on giving information out and talking about the things that Jesus was saying. And he said, he started looking around. He asked the question another time. And there was one young woman who raised her hand not too far from the front. And he says, oh, so he went over to his front stage, this little platform, and he started asking her, can you tell us about harvest? And so you were brought up on a farm. She says, yes. And in our fields, we had corn fields that were filled with corn stalks that were well over 8 feet, over 2 meters tall, full, ears, ready to harvest. She knew what he was talking about. And so he asked her another question. He says, so when it comes to harvest, what do? Just sleep in because it's done? Oh, she says, oh, no. And she gave a one-liner that turned the whole thing around for all the people with an uproar. Everybody uproared. And it was a classic one-liner, and that's my title this morning. She said to him, the corn doesn't pick itself. If you want to take a look at that, it's incredible. Just a one-liner. But, you know, sometimes as Christians, we miss God's one-liner. Go. The harvest is ripe. Pray for laborers. And I can remember people in church, people that used to sing songs, Lord, send me. And sometimes all the hanging skin under their chin used to flap a little bit. Lord, send me. And every week they'd come back and there was no testimonies. And they loved people. They were Christians. But it was all inward. This is not an inward church. This is an outward-looking church. Because that's exactly what Jesus asked us to do. Yes, we have to come into this church. How many here read their Bible this week? Let me see your hands. Okay. Once? One, you read it once? Let me see your hands. Have you read your Bible once? Have you read it more than once this week? Let me see your hands. A few less. Okay, one, pretty close. It's a lifeline. The Word of God is a lifeline. It's not because I'm telling you have to read your Bible, Cherry, or you can't come to give life anymore until you do. And you can't witness to anybody until you do. No. I never read the Bible a whole lot in my earlier days. I read it, but I didn't read it a whole lot. But you know, when you start to read it and you start to get the revelation, man, something starts to click. Something starts to go into your spirit. The Spirit of God begins to show you things about yourself. Begins to show you things about himself. That's the most important thing. He begins to show you about him, about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, and all that he did for us. So Anyways, this one-liner, the place went ecstatic. And I thought to myself, how powerful that is. The corn isn't going to pick itself. Let me hear you say it with me. The corn isn't going to pick itself. Say it again with a little bit more unction. The corn isn't going to pick itself. Now turn to your neighbor and say that. If you don't have a neighbor, get to one. Everyone say it. Now I want you to do something real hard. You ready? I want you to tell God that. And end with this. Send me, Lord. Say it with me. The corn. Come on. The corn. This is, man, and I tell you, come on, people. Let's not act whitey-whitey. Let's not act Caucasian. Let's just do a little bit of calisthenics this morning. Everybody stand up. Come on. See, I'm so used to it myself, man. I've said, I got to start moving around. I got to start getting a little bit louder. I have to start getting a little bit unglued. Did you ever notice before you sit, before I ask you to do something, that line? Did you ever notice there's a, bless their hearts, they're out there trying to do something, but there's Jehovah's Witnesses along the pathway where Pastor Moran and I walk, and they're just there with their booth, and they're just there with their booth, with literature. Doing nothing. Who's going to stop for something like that? If they were to go, hey, would you like to be a Jehovah's Witness? Would you like a magazine? Do you think you might possibly take one? Better chance. There's a better chance. Say this with me, and I want you to mean it, because there's a turning point that our church is taking. And I'm not the only one that's saying it. God revealed it. But I'm not the only one saying it, but I want us to say this line. The corn isn't going to pick itself. Say it to God. The corn isn't going to pick itself. God, send me. Yes, thank you, Cherry. Yeah. Okay, God bless you. You may be seated. I know we're all prim and proper. Thank you, Pastor Sue, for the Downton Abbey series. We're watching that. And boy, I tell you what, the class system, man. It just sort of grates at me. But you know, the characters, it just brought a whole... I'm going off on a tangent now. But I really like it, because the characters are so significant with each other. And they sort of give you a glimpse of, if anything, not the class system that was there. Yes. But it was the... servitude that they did, and they honored. Do we do that for one another? Do you do that for people? I have to ask myself this. Do I honor when I go down the street and look at a person, even though they may be dressed nice, do I honor that person? Or if you look at a person who's not, it's more easy for me to look at a person and my heart break when I see a person. I saw this young kid months ago when we first moved, and he was just in a really bad way. Torn, clothes were messed up, hair unkempt. I wanted to put my arms around him. Why would I do it for just him, for the way he looked? And not go by a person who's dressed up in a suit or nice clothes and feel the same? I've been asking God, not that I do that, but I ask God even more to change, to open my eyes, to break my heart for what breaks his heart when I look at people. So important. I don't know about you. Maybe that will speak to someone this morning. Maybe you're that way. Maybe you're a class kind of a person and you don't stoop, or you weren't brought up that way. But you know, where did Jesus come from? You talking about class? You talking about kingdom? You're talking about his position? And he lowered himself to come and walk with us as brothers and sisters. He gave everything to serve us. In fact, one of the last things Jesus did, and I mentioned it, he washed the night before he died. He washed his disciples' feet. Praise God. Again, John chapter 35, we can have that again. In Jesus' day, he says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Would you go for me? Would you go out for me?" You see, we want something really... Sometimes I want to kick myself because I don't want to follow a groove of... Because I watch a lot of preachers as well. Those other preachers never saw me, so they don't copy me. But there's a tendency sometimes when you look at somebody who's really getting the point across is to try to get it across the way they do. Well, I have a certain mannerism that I have that I've never changed. And sometimes it's offensive to people because they don't understand, just like they did here. They didn't understand Jesus when he was saying something. But he meant it with all his heart. Do you think that Jesus says, "Oh, don't you have that saying, that proverb that says, in 4 months there's a harvest?" How do you think he said that? I really don't know. It's not stated, the inflection. If you probably study the language, you could probably pick something up. I would say that Jesus would have said it with a bit more rambunction. Because he just saw, not even prior in the other passage in Matthew, he just saw the masses and his heart was filled with compassion. It's easy for us because we can go home and have a meal. We can go home and have our family with us. But you know, there are people on the streets that some of them do go home to their folk and to their family, but they're busted up. A lot of bad tensions. And other people don't even have a family or a home to go home to. And some of them hate religion and don't want to be bothered with anybody talking about Jesus. But Jesus said, "Go. The corn isn't going to pick itself. Go for me." Jesus looked at the crowds, and I believe he wept. He says, "Would you go and share my good news in your marketplace?" And I'm saying this today. Would you go and share my God's gospel, Jesus' gospel, the good news at your school? Would you go and share it at your business place? Would you go and share it at where you play sport? Would you go and share it, excuse me, when you go shopping? Would you go and share it sometime when you're just going for a walk? And would you share it sometimes when you're going with your family, when you go to see your family? Would you share the gospel of good news? And I'm going to close with this because we're going to have a testimony or two. But I got a revelation of this. You may disagree with it. That's okay. But I saw it real clear. Because I had an uncle who had a farm. And I remember going to the farm. And especially when he had either wheat, especially corn, standing at the edge of the cornfield. We used to run through the aisles all the time as kids, my cousins. We used to run through there and have a ball and have fresh corn after. But I can remember going and standing at the edge, and this is where God began to point things out of my memory, my childhood memories. He says, "Do you remember when you stood at the edge of the cornfield before you went into play? And when you went into play, do you remember how much corn there was around you? The fields were full of mature corn." He was about, in fact, he had a lot of times we'd go down there on certain times of the year, he would have the tractor ready, prepared with the equipment to do the harvest the day after. Because you have to get up real early. Harvest is the hardest thing to do. Because you have to work hard. You have to stay up late. You lose sleep. You have to get the harvest in because you only got a certain amount of time, or the bad weather starts coming in and the crop will rot and other things will take place and you'll lose the crop. See, this is why when Jesus said, "Do you not say that there are yet 4 months until harvest?" And they were thinking all these things in their head computer going around because they've seen it before. They saw it before. When you walk through a cornfield that's full of harvest, corn ready to be harvested, it's ready and ripe. Lord, please get this across in the right way through my mouth. Do you have to pray about what corn you're going to pick? Oh God, is this the corn? Oh God, is this the stalk I took the corn from? Oh God, is this the one? We'll go a little further down here. Do you ask the farmer? Imagine asking the farmer, sir, should I pick this corn here? Is this the right one? He'd fire you right on the spot. He'd kick you out. You're not reaping. We're not reaping. We're not reaping when we've got to pray to God and ask Him where and who do I have to go to. Just walk out on the street. I dare you. Walk out on the street. I've done it. Walk out on the street and see if you don't find some ripened corn ready to be picked. Does it mean that you have to win them right there on the spot? No. It means that you share the gospel and the compassion of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that Todd White, I love the way he does his order of things. He's always going up to people. Jesus loves you. Man, Jesus loves you. But he does get a word of knowledge when he makes his headway into people. And then the prayer starts going on. And then he starts getting a revelation and a word of knowledge. Is this wrong with you? The Lord just showed me that this is wrong with you. And it's in. And the person gets healed. But how would you know unless you start to go? And how would you know unless you get I've got to pray. And all these people, it's like, how can I say this? When we go to a Christian conference and they have the big wigs there that are going to be pouring out all the notes and all that they studied and all the words that they're going to share and the sessions and all the piousness that goes on with it. And while we're going to the conference, we're passing people by even when we're going to get a Coke or we're going to get a drink. Or we're going to, boy, this line's taking a long time. These blazing people, don't they know I've got to go? And they're part of the harvest. You see, it's all selective. I'm going to stop there. We'll continue it next week if you hear. Amen.